Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Continuing our discussion here on wealth creation, trying to get a sense of how the shifts in trends from various retailers might be impacting our pockets. Andrea Slaba, welcome to Kaya Biz. Biz. Able to hear you?
Can hear you. I'm so sorry for the technical issues we experienced.
Not at all. We have gremlins visiting us all the time, and far more frequently the closer we get to Christmas. So don't stress at all. I'm just glad we were able to get you on the line. So you might have been able to hear me speaking about the corporate retail comparative report, I've just highlighted a couple of the things that were interesting to me, but I'd love to hand over to you for the rest of our discussion to really take the lead on this.
Sure. I mean, it's very interesting. I heard you mentioning the sort of absence of load shedding over the past year. And we've certainly seen a change. I mean, it's been the best change that they could have hoped for.
Yes.
In terms of operating profit margins and really being able to trade. Biggest challenge for stores that didn't have the uninterrupted power was a loss of foot traffic, with people shopping at shopping malls where they knew they could get stores open.
Absolutely. Notwithstanding all of this, as you say, there were 378 net new stores added over the period in the past half year, which I think is quite a surprisingly high number.
It is a large number, and there's quite a bit of a backstory to it, because if you look at over the past 5 years, there's been an average of one new store opening per day, 7 days a week for the whole year. Which really sounds staggering, and it is, and it also sounds puzzling, because where is this growth going to? And, I mean, if you look at the numbers, there's not that much real growth. It's propped up by inflation. So two things that drive that growth within the FMCG industry, and specifically we're zooming in now on the modern trade space where the corporate retailers play. There's been quite a few acquisitions of stores that were previously sort of situated in the wholesale or the independent retail space. Okay. I think of a number of stores purchased by the ShopRite Group, for example. So yes. Certainly their store growth had been affected by that or boosted by that. Mm. So it's displacing the market share, I suppose, from one channel to another. The other trend is most of the stores that the retailers open are smaller, more convenience-focused stores. Mm. And they've also intentionally reduce the size of their very large and their hyper supermarkets. So you see a sort of a fragmentation of the trade. So the actual growth isn't really as big as the number of the stores increasing.
Exactly. So in other words, square footage is not necessarily that much higher, but you've got maybe concentrated or at least fewer SKUs closer to customers. So they don't have to travel as far. The second reason that the high number of net new stores surprised me was the excitement that we've seen from a number of retailers to deliver on home delivery. And I would have thought that that would have been a complementary, if not offsetting, growth area.
I hear what you say, but the store growth is also positioning the store as the distribution unit
right.
of the communities they serve. So that is sort of part of the plan. And obviously, there's a huge amount of investment behind that.
Yes.
I mean, the competition in the FMCG industry is fierce. So everybody's trying to either protect their market share or grow their market share.
Mm.
And it costs money if you grow it by growing your store footprint.
Speaking of this growth and this intensified competition, I thought one of your observations that I sort of seem to feel anecdotally is this outstanding performance of Checkers versus Woolworths Food on the high end. 2.6 times higher average turnover per store than Woolworths stores. And I'm for some reason of the mind that they may have more stores than Woolworths. So that's quite an intense stat.
So the ranging and the size of the store, arguably in Checkers, which includes those few hyperstores that I have, certainly plays a big role there. But I think for me the biggest insight is if you look at the shoppers visiting Checkers stores, they've certainly been able to shift the focus of the shopper demographic visiting their stores, and they've been successful in inviting the higher income wallet into their stores. We can clearly see how they've done that by the premiumization of ranges, the in-store experience. And certainly, I mean, I don't think it's only shoppers that previously shopped at Woolworths that are now visiting Checkers stores. What we see is that the average South African does their grocery shopping in a month over 4 to 5 different stores. So people shop around for what they want, where they want, when they want.
Well, we're probably the most price sensitive we've been in the last business cycle. And your point about Checkers is absolutely correct. I think I interviewed the chief marketing officer about 3 years ago, and this was their stated intention, was premiumizing the stores and going specifically after not only the Woolworths shopper, but also the Pick and Pay shopper. And that's a spotlight I'm very curious about now. What are you seeing in the numbers in terms of Pick and Pay support performance compared to their competitors, particularly under new management?
So the thing that concerns me most about Pick and Pay is now that we can see the performance of the Pick and Pay group and then dissecting the numbers between Pick and Pay's actual performance versus Boxer, the one thing that stands out significantly is the negative underlying volume growth that has really been a big concern for the Pick and Pay stores, in particular on the food section. So, if you look at the whole industry, it appears that the industry is performing well because we look at turnover growth, but that is certainly propped up by inflation and also, like I said, the store acquisitions. But zooming in on the Pick and Pay group, they've been really lucky as a group with Boxer being one of the few retailers, along with ShopRite and Clicks, showing positive volume growth, still very muted. But the Pick and Pay underlying volume growth, or the real growth, was negative to a great extent. So that is a big challenge, and I think to the extent Pick and Pay may have lost relevance with their shoppers from a grocery perspective, and I think their biggest challenge will be trying to get those shoppers back into their stores.
Do you have I know this is a backward looking study, but do you have a sense of whether or not the benefits of less load shedding, the growth of stores and the like might be passed on to the consumer?
I don't see evidence of that just yet, but yes, one would hope for that. And if I look at, it's an unrelated comment, but also looking at the lack of the impact of load shedding on the Pick and Pay group, you have to understand that that's also playing out differently because they've got a franchise network.
That's right.
That is about close to half of the store network. So certainly that is encouraging, but it's also the franchise network that had some real challenges. So lots of work for the Pick and Pay group to do to get their game back.
Final question to you, Andrea. We haven't really touched too much on the consumer non-discretionary, the pharma side of it, because obviously food is non-discretionary as well. But Clicks and Dis-Chem, any strong trends or takeaways that you might want to bring our attention to between those two?
So something that really stands out for me, and I had to scrutinize those numbers to really make sense of it, but Clicks showed the highest underlying volume growth of all the corporate retailers at 1.4%. Wow. I mean, I said before, the other retailers that showed positive volume growth were Boxer at full year at 0.8%, and the ShopRite group now recently at the full year results 0.5%. So that makes 1.4% sounded a bit better than just on its own. But I think the Clicks group has really been incredibly calculating about executing the strategy at best practice, and it's paying off for them. So I think that's health and beauty over the past 6 years has outpaced growth within the FMCG sector compared to grocery.
Wow.
So it's definitely an area that is certainly very exciting.
It is. I certainly, again, on with my anecdotal insights, I certainly walk into Dis-Chem saying, okay, I'm just going to pick up some panado, and then find myself with a basket full of things that I wasn't planning to buy. So there's something about both of their merchandising that seems to do quite well. Andrea, this has been absolutely enlightening. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Wealth Creation, giving us some perspective on the Corporate Retail Comparative Report for the past half year. Andrea is the Insights Lead at Trade Intelligence. Thanks again.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.